The National Civil War Museum in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, holds original manuscripts from hundreds of Civil War soldiers. One of these was Private William Elisha Stoker, a young father from Texas who fought for the Confederacy. We have no photograph of Private Stoker, but his collection of 30 letters, written between August of 1862 and May of 1864, offers as vivid a snapshot as any of wartime life for a young, frightened soldier and lonely husband and father. Stoker hated that the war kept him away from his wife Elizabeth, who he called Betty, and their young daughter Priscilla, both of whom he missed deeply. He wrote from camp,
"But when I reflect back upon the happy days we have spent together at that sweet little home, and then think where I am now, it nearly makes my heart just sink with dismay."
Stoker was a member of General John Walker's Texas Division, which historian Richard Lowe considers the single most formidable Confederate fighting unit in the Trans-Mississippi Theater. Historians know little about Stoker's life before his military service began in 1862. Born in Alabama in 1837, he moved with his extended family to Troup County, Georgia, at some point before 1850. Then, Brother Elisha, as his stepbrothers called him, moved to East Texas, married a young woman named Elizabeth, and established a farm outside of Coffeyville in Upshur County. The young couple had at least one daughter, who they named Priscilla, before Republican candidate Abraham Lincoln won the 1860 election and Southern states seceded from the Union. The Stokers didn't live on a plantation, and they were not active in politics, but they did own two slaves. The conflict over slavery's future was a conflict about their way of life. Yet it appears that William Elisha Stoker was not amongst the 25,000 Texans who volunteered for service as the war began. The Confederate government authorized a military draft in February 1862, and Stoker entered Company H of the 18th Texas Infantry in May. His letters suggest that he was conscripted into service. Stoker's Texas Company underwent a grueling march to Arkansas over the summer of 1862, arriving by September. The unit did not actually receive its full combat equipment, however, until November, and while stuck in camp, Stoker's thoughts turned repeatedly to his family in East Texas. He especially wanted to hear from his young daughter, Priscilla.
"When you write, fill a sheet every time if you can, and can't think of nothing, then get Priscilla to say something and write it. You wrote that she was as smart and as pretty as ever. I wish I could see you and her. I'm afraid you and her features, I will forget them. I have wished lots of times that I have had your likeness taken and brought with me."
Stoker also loved and missed his wife. Occasionally his letters included a poem. "My pen is bad, my ink is pale, my love for you will never fail." For 13 months, Stoker's military experience consisted mainly of marching. But that changed dramatically in early June 1863. Confederate generals decided to employ Walker's Texas Division as part of a desperate effort to stop the Union campaign to seize Vicksburg, the last remaining rebel stronghold on the Mississippi. The result was a major engagement at Milliken's Bend, and then a series of smaller skirmishes across northern Louisiana, none of which succeeded in preventing the Union takeover of the Mississippi. Merely a young private, Stoker didn't fully appreciate the larger strategic picture, but he knew the situation was bad for his side. He told his wife Betty that even General Walker had admitted that they had done well to come out with any men at all.
Whenever William Stoker wrote home, he didn't hide the harsh reality of Army life. He claimed he only wanted to let Elizabeth know how soldiers had to live. One issue that the young farmer mentioned repeatedly in his letters was the lack of good food. "Plant lots of vegetables," he instructed Betty, claiming that once he returned home, his family would see some of the powerfulest eating because he was nearly perished out for something good to eat. In addition, Stoker's assessment of the medical care that he and his colleagues received was harshly critical.
"We're all getting very much dissatisfied. Up here there is so much sickness and so many dying. They just die all the time. The doctor is out of medicines, and if they had a wagon load, it wouldn't do any good. But they are so lazy, they won't get up when they're sitting down to give a sick man a dose of medicine."
Both the grueling army life and his loneliness contributed to Stoker's belief that the war simply had to end. 1 year into his military service, the Texas farmer concluded,
"Times gets harder with the soldiers. I've got so I just wish this here Confederacy was tore all to smash and turned bottom up."
Stoker was especially tough on the officers in his unit. "Enlisted men," he reported, "I give up all hopes of us gaining our independence." But he told Betty that the officers never would admit defeat, since then their big pay would stop. Stoker's involvement in the war ended in late spring 1864, following the Battle of Jenkins Ferry, which took place on the banks of the Saline River in Grant County, Arkansas. The battle was part of the Red River Campaign, a failed Union military effort to end Confederate resistance west of the Mississippi. Stoker's half-brother Thomas McKissick informed Elizabeth Stoker in a short letter dated May 7, 1864, that her husband had been shot through the chest during the battle. Thomas was hopeful, or at least he appeared to be in the note. "I think he will get over it, and he said he would come home as quick as he could," he wrote gently to his sister-in-law. William Stoker, however, never returned home to his wife and daughter. He was one of the nation's more than 620,000 casualties of war. What he left his family, however, was a rich testimony about the hardships of that conflict and the sacrifices of a generation of Americans who fought with each other so bitterly over the meaning of their great national experiment.